Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It is Monday, and that means tonight on Monday Night Raw, we will, in fact, have a new WWE Universal Champion. There was a series of matches last week leading to a four-way tonight for that title. We're going to talk about the Raw 5-point preview here on the show today, what you've got to look forward to on the program here tonight. In addition to that, we've got a lot of news, including the death of one of WWE's maybe not greatest managers. I don't want to lie here, but he was a very famous manager. Have you been watching WWF wrestling for a long time? Mr. Fuji has passed away. Very sad to see him go, but he did live a long life, 82 years old. We can talk a little bit about Mr. Fuji here on the show today. We have got more WWE news in terms of Finn Balor and his surgery. They went to open him up, as we talked about last week. He did have surgery, but when they went to open him up, as he noted on Twitter, it was significantly worse than they had thought. And we're going to tell you what the prognosis is for Finn Balor here on the program today. Ryback has also not only begun working outside of WWE, but he's got a new podcast, The Big Guys Podcast. And on the first episode, he talked about his departure from WWE. He claimed he was offered a $1.5 million deal over 3 years, which I guess would be about $350,000 per year. He turned it down. He could talk about why and so much more. We've also got your text messages. We got so much stuff to get into here on the program today. Mike Sempervivi is going to be joining us as always, and we shall not waste any time. So stick around, everybody. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Is your lawn fried from heat and drought stress? Flowers wilted? Tired of constantly watering? Not to mention high water bills? Then do what the pros do to reduce watering by up to 50% or more. Use Hydratain and you'll water less while maintaining beautiful lawns, landscapes, and gardens. Hydratain is an environmentally friendly solution that has been used for years by top golf courses and landscape professionals. Now available to you. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratain. To learn more or to order directly, visit our website at youwaterless.com.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Contour Next and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now. 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Howdy there. I'm the Extra Crispy Colonel for KFC, here to tell you about my delicious new Chicken Littles. Their sandwich is made with an extra crispy hand-breaded tender on a warm sesame seed bun. That's the sound of your mouth applauding. And now you can get two Chicken Littles in KFC's $5 fill-up. Sorry, my mouth just won't stop applauding. KFC, it's finger little good.
Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Raw is tonight. The first Universal Champion is going to be crowned. The second, I apologize. The first one's out with surgery. The second Universal Champion is going to be crowned here tonight. In a four-way, it is Kevin Owens, Colin Cassidy, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns to determine who will be the second Universal Champion following Finn Balor. A lot of different possibilities tonight. I know there are cable guides out there that suggest the main event is going to come down to a singles match. That's impossible, obviously, but that should tell you what the original idea was for this tournament. Originally, it was going to be, I guess, Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. So, Mike, who do you think is going to walk away tonight as the second WWE Universal Champion?
I would think that is going to be Seth Rollins, although I just want to be convinced somehow that it's going to be Kevin Owens, because I think there's possibilities there, especially if this is something where you're not exactly sure what you want to do yet, but you kind of need a good holding pattern. I think Kevin Owens would be a fantastic holding pattern. The problem with that is the perception of Kevin Owens as a holding pattern, and what he's got going on right now with Chris Jericho, I think is a great thing. And Seth Rollins seems to be the most obvious person to have that belt, with the relationship already there, with the authority, with Stephanie, with his place in the company, with his place on the brand. It just screams that the worst guy, perception-wise, what they want you to believe on the roster, is the most obnoxious Universal Champion who only gets it because the rightful champion, Finn Balor, the new hero, the new demon, ended up getting hurt.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. The first ever champion was Finn Balor, and that means, obviously, that the first champion was not Seth Rollins. Now, I do think that Seth Rollins was going to beat Finn Balor down the road. So there are two ways that you can go here. Way number one is that whoever wins tonight ends up being the replacement for Finn Balor, and that person holds a title for a while, and then Seth Rollins beats that person, just like I figure he was going to eventually beat Finn Balor. So if we look at the lineup right here, that would mean of the possible baby faces, it would be either Roman Reigns or Colin Cassidy. Now, I don't think they're going to put the title on Big Cass, but when I look at, of all of the guys on the roster, they chose four guys, and one of them was Big Cass. Obviously, they love Big Cass. I don't think it's impossible that Big Cass wins the title and has a short run, and then Seth Rollins beats him. I think it's unlikely it's Roman Reigns, just because Roman Reigns is a babyface, but he's hated. So really, as I look at this lineup right here, if they want to recreate what they had with Finn Balor before he got hurt, which is a babyface holding the title before Seth Rollins beats him, that would mean it would be Big Cass. But the other way you could go is, all right, so Seth Rollins was going to win the title. He was eventually going to beat Finn Balor. Hopefully it wasn't, like, this week. Hopefully that wasn't their plan, that Finn would have it for a week. Or even a month. I think that Finn should have got a run. But I do think that at the end of the day, Seth was going to beat Finn. And so with Finn out, the other possibility, which probably is the most likely, quite frankly, given what they do, it's probably going to be Seth Rollins as the Universal Champion walking out of Raw tonight. Now, you could put it on anybody. It really doesn't matter. I mean, these network pay-per-views are being sold as network pay-per-views. You're either going to get the network or you're not. It's not like you're selling pay-per-views based on a main event. It really doesn't matter. But I think if you had to put a gun to my head, I would guess that Seth Rollins is walking out tonight as the Universal Champion.
And I know it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of business, but as far as my viewing enjoyment goes, in a way, I mean, it really does actually matter. And I like Big Cass. How can you not like the act right now with him and Enzo? But it's not going to – if Big Cass could actually be working the house shows with Seth Rollins, and maybe you could do that, and he was going to – because Seth Rollins would be a good guy for him to bounce around like a super ball for him as he gets more comfortable working longer matches. And if you were going to do a scenario like that, I think that would be great. And I think that way you wouldn't damage him at all with people thinking that he got a short reign or something like that. I don't think people would hold that against him in this day and age anyway, considering when Rollins, you know, if this scenario were to happen where Cass were to win the belt, when Rollins got it back from him, odds are it probably wouldn't be a clean finish. You know, I don't think Vince is going to do that with Cass right now. I don't think he'd do it with Reigns either, and he has, but Cass is a little bit of a different story. But if they were doing something like that, okay. But I think sometimes the obvious thing to do is the right thing to do, and Seth Rollins being the glue to kind of holds that brand together anyway, and a guy who can work with everybody, and a guy who already has done it before and is a perfect representation of the WWE heel champion, I think it's okay to just go on with that and then see what comes.
We're going to be back in the studio on Wednesday, and I want to take some calls on Wednesday about a question that I've got, and maybe some fans, some listeners. You could also text me if you wanted to. I can read some over the next couple of days, but if you look at Roman Reigns was so popular when he was in The Shield. And everybody loved him. And it wasn't until they tried to give him a push in place of Daniel Bryan, who the fans wanted as champion, that he really began to be hated. And Daniel Bryan's long gone. He can't even wrestle anymore. And this man is still hated. Now, I look at Colin Cassidy. And Colin Cassidy, I mean, in some ways, he's very much like Roman Reigns. Physically, he is exactly what Vince McMahon wants. Roman Reigns looks like an action figure, and Big Cass is 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. What is it that fans still absolutely hate Roman Reigns? But I believe that if they put the title on Big Cass, who has not been there very long, he'll be, let's say they put the title on him tonight. They'll have put the title on him tonight because he's being pushed to the moon, because Vince McMahon likes him and he's tall and he's big. But if they put the title on him tonight, I don't see a backlash. Is it because he's got a little buddy who's a really exciting talker that the fans love? Is that the sole reason that the fans would not turn on Colin Cassidy? Or would they turn on him if he got the title tonight? Would there be a backlash because people would feel he wasn't ready? I don't think there would be. And I want to know what the difference is between Big Cass and Roman Reigns. Because Roman Reigns, I mean, if you compare him side by side talking, I mean, Big Cass plays well off Enzo, but is Big Cass really like a great promo that Roman Reigns isn't? I don't think so. I mean, maybe he's a little less boring, but he's definitely not as good a worker as Roman Reigns. I mean, what is it between these two guys where they'll go for Big Cass and they won't go for Roman Reigns?
I already told you that answer on Thursday show. You should have listened to me while you were out there gallivanting on the beach. Basically, it was inside a bigger thing I was talking about, but it came down to Daniel Bryan. It came down to spiting Daniel Bryan two consecutive years, and then it became the thing to hate Roman Reigns, and it just has been one of those things that settled in. And look, he does a lot of really things well, and during big matches, people do forget, you know, until the match is over again and they begin to boo him. You know, as the match goes on, they do forget, so that you do need to note that. But as far as just taking him in as a character, it's just because it truly is a battle of wills between the fans and WWE, because WWE, in most other cases, with most other guys, would have flipped this guy heel already, and they haven't done that, and the fans know that, and it is almost... It's almost more of a sociological type of deal than it is an entertainment sort of deal, with basically these two sides just standing off with Roman Reigns right in the middle of the whole thing. I'll be interested to hear what people think about that and what their opinions are on it. But I think it almost comes down to being as simple as that. And the thing with the – and look, fans are fickle anyway. I mean, it's like – look at pop music. You know, there was a band, the Cardigans, that had a song Love Fool, and the first Band on the Moon album, which was a very poppy, kind of syrupy sort of thing. They came out with this album like 2 years later, Gran Turismo. Great album, but by that point, people had already kind of chalked up in their minds what they thought this band was, and they completely ignored everything that came after it. It's kind of the same thing here with Roman Reigns. I mean, people can just be fickle, and he was the guy, and he's not the guy anymore. And again, this battle of wills with WWE came down. It's seemingly more about everything else than it really has to do with him, because when he's out there wrestling, or when people get invested and they forget about all the snarkiness, or they forget about, you know, booing him or anything like that, and they get involved in the match, things seem to go fine. It's just once that break happens, that's when they start booing him again.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking about Roman Reigns and Big Cass. And listen, obviously, the fans started hating Roman Reigns because of Daniel Bryan. But it's been 2 years. And as far as your popular music analogy, here's the thing. If there's a band and they do something you don't like and you turn on them, there's like millions of other bands that you can get into. Raw's roster has like 25 guys on it or less. I don't even know how many. Someone needs to go count how many people are on the Raw roster right now. I seem to remember it was like I don't know, 40 to 60 or something like that when there was one brand and now they've cut them in half. So your pickings are so slim.
That's why they love the big cast.
Is Roman Reigns that bad that on a limited roster, you still don't want to see him and you want to boo him out of the building? The company would be better without Roman Reigns.
No, I don't think people see. I think if you throw it out to a question, there may be somebody who answers that. But I think deep down, they don't really believe it. It's not about not wanting to see Roman Reigns, or they want him drummed out of the company, or actually beaten up in real life. They just don't like this guy. I think it's just a matter of how they react to him. And look, they could flip this guy heel, and immediately people could start cheering him again. This, I think, is more of a sociological fan thing than it's got anything at all to do with the product that they're giving you in the ring. Because again, when people forget, then you don't have that response to Roman Reigns. It's just, look at the big matches that he has. It's, you know, people will still boo him and stuff like that. And you know, the bigger events where there's a more raucous and hardcore fan base are going to be on it a little bit more. But for the most part, once the people get invested in the match, they forget about the fact that, oh yeah, we're supposed to hate this dude. So I don't think it's as vile as you might think it is, or that some people might think it is. I could be completely wrong about that, but I don't think that's the case.
Listen, maybe you're right, but let me tell you something. I'm not convinced that the fans keep forgetting that they hate Roman Reigns. Fans are conditioned to pop for ring entrances and finishers. So it's not even so much that, oh, hey, we forgot that we don't like Roman Reigns, now we got to remember to boo. It's more like, I'm going to pick a guy that I'm not a huge fan of in terms of his wrestling. The Miz, okay? Miz, I mean, let's be honest. A great character, a great interview. His matches are boring. And don't even tell me they're not, because you're lying. I don't care how much you want to troll me. Guy has boring matches. So he's out there having a boring match, and all of a sudden, he goes up to the top of the post, and he does a double 450 and puts a guy through a table. Guess what? I'd pop. I'd be like, dude, that was awesome. But then I'm going to boo the guy again, because I really am bored by his matches. Obviously, if you don't like Roman Reigns, you're sitting there watching a show, you watch The New Day, Gallows and Anderson, talking about testicles, and they've got jars, and they're in these stupid outfits, and you're like, oh my God, what is this? And then Roman Reigns' music hit, and you're like, oh, hey, thank God, we got a star coming out. But I hate him. And then you boo, and he has a match, and you boo everything because you don't like the guy. And then he does this big spear, and you go, hey, oh, there's a spear. Thank God this match is over. Then you boo again. That could be all this is. It's a very, these fans are, they're like dogs at dinner time sometimes. They just pop for what they're conditioned to pop for. And it's not like, I don't believe they're forgetting that they don't like Roman Reigns. And it's all part of their act. I think they really don't like the guy. But you're going to cheer every time you see a spear. Like some big Samoan spearing some dude out of his boots. Of course you're going to pop. Who couldn't pop for that?
But the thing is, at least they're popping. Even if they're booing, at least they're making noise, because you're exactly right when you talk about these Pavlovian responses that you get from fans in entertainment, in sports entertainment, and the music hits and you get a response. But how many times does music hit nowadays? There's nothing. You at least, you know, you watch back and
honestly, rarely. Come on. Everyone always cheers for the entrance, and then they die.
Yeah, but then, I mean, it's a lot of times it can be very mild. And when you take the announcers, you know, speaking loudly, and you take the sound of the music and you actually hear the crowd, there's a very, very often it's quite mild. But again, I think with Roman Reigns, it really just comes down to if they were to today, he goes and he leaves Castlane in a pool of blood. Actually, I take that back, because fans really would boo him and really be on him in a heel way for that. But if he does something where he stays Roman Reigns and he stays smirking and he's, you know, still a relatively cool guy as far as the how he is marketed and how he is presented by WWE. If he goes dirty on somebody, there's a really good chance the fans would cheer, because, again, that's just the relationship with this guy. He is a special outlier. John Cena was a special outlier, too. There have been a lot of special outliers. Here's one in a completely different way, and how WWE has dug their heels in on him, how the fans have dug their heels in on him. I think this is he has been a special case. It may be ridiculous, but it's been a special case.
Listen, with John Cena, at least, like, I don't know how many years it was. I don't want someone to yell at me and say it wasn't 2012, it was 2011. I don't care. My point is, for about 10 years of John Cena's career, he was horrible in the ring. And he was given the championship over and over and over again. Benoit, Guerrero, all of these great workers on the card. And it kept going to this guy who was so clumsy and stumbled around the ring. And then all of a sudden, one day in like 2013, 2012, whatever year it was, suddenly John Cena became like this unbelievable worker. And every time he was in the ring, he had an excellent match. It didn't matter who it was.
Champion player.
Whatever it was. Yeah, in there with Mike Jackson. John Cena's having this great match. But, like, for years, this guy was terrible. Roman Reigns is, like, he's never been that bad. And especially not for that amount of time. At least with John Cena, you had 10 years of built-up aggression towards this guy. Constantly being put on top. Roman Reigns was like, okay, we're over it. Daniel Bryan's gone. He's a good worker. What are you mad about? Every time he has a match, it's good.
But Brian, Cena was coming in at a time. Look, some of the pushback from Cena was the fact that when he got on, you started to see an atrophy of names, and you had that company go through a recycling of itself that left basically on top when it really got down to it. Take Batista out of the mix. You had what, Cena and Orton. Yes, you had Edge. You had Batista. But I think, you know, of what we know coming out of that era, it was John Cena and it was Orton, and some of the response against Cena, and yes, he was terrible in the ring, but again, it was a completely, there was a switch in fan base, or at least, you know, as far as mentality of fans, there was a lot of recycling going on at the time that John Cena ended up being created and spawned, and we got what we got out of him. And hey, look, he did everything they asked him to do. And yes, he started to have more freedom, I guess, with his matches, and he felt more comfortable doing with what, you know, what he's doing. But I think to compare the two is really unfair, because the times were, again, they have crossed into each other, but they were so completely different in what created John Cena. And look how that character was initially, and then what it became.
My point is, for 10 years, I could at least look at the fans who were angry at John Cena being the top guy and say, you know what, you're right. There are better workers. There are guys that should be given a chance, but it's still this guy. Fine. You want to boo the guy out of the building when he's a babyface? Fine. It's been 2 years for Roman Reigns. He hasn't been around for a decade. And the real, I could totally understand the backlash when this guy was being pushed above Daniel Bryan and these other guys. It ain't even like that anymore. Like, what, you want Kevin Owens on top? I can understand that. But you look at the Raw roster, and whose spot is he taking? Seth Rollins? Clearly not.
What changed with the show, Brian? What changed with the show other than taking a bunch of people off? Nothing has really changed
with
that
big
show.
Thing. That's a giant thing. There's half the roster.
But there's half. But Brian, look at the fan base. And, yes, the fan base knows half the roster is gone. It's not going to immediately just change overnight that's how they're going to now view the wrestlers differently. Well, now half the roster's gone. We've got to cheer Roman Reigns. It's not how they're looking at this whole deal here. They're not looking at it that way. But now all of a sudden they're gone, and Roman Reigns should be our guy. They're still looking at him as the same guy, and again, with the same, you know, headstrong issues that they have with WWE. That's why.
I'm not even saying that fans should accept Roman as the guy. I'm just saying, what are you so mad about right now? Like, why are you so angry? Yeah.
They don't hate him.
It's 2016. Come on.
I could be wrong. I honestly don't believe they hate him. It is sheerly, honestly, I think it's just a matter of a battle of wills.
Okay,
it really is.
Let's move on here. I got to read this from Finn. I woke up the morning of SummerSlam with nothing but positivity and feeling physically better than ever. The moment I got injured, I knew it was serious. It was an instinctive reaction to pull on my wrist. I entered survival mode. This was when he popped his shoulder back. When the bell rang, I had won. I was the champion, but I was reluctant to celebrate, as I already knew in my heart that what awaited at Raw. Disappointed, yes, but I was the champion, and I was not missing an opportunity to fulfill my duty and appear on Good Morning America on Monday morning. After hours of scans and despite some hope, the worst was confirmed at 5 p.m. Monday, 3 hours before Raw, which was why they didn't even know what they were doing with the title at the beginning of the show. I would need surgery ASAP and relinquish the title on Raw. The most difficult part of relinquishing the title was when I came back through the curtain and I was overcome by a feeling of inadequacy. Despite every emotion I had felt the previous 24 hours, I was still the champion. That gave me strength. Now, I was not. I traveled to Birmingham. Dr. Dugas prepped me for surgery as a photo of Seth Rollins watched over us. What was supposed to be a one-hour surgery turned into a four-hour surgery, as once I was opened up, they found more to the injury than the scans showed. Labrum tear, torn bicep, pectoral tendon cartilage damage, and fracture to the glenoid neck socket. A fractured neck. He broke his neck. No more buckle bombs. I woke up 5 a.m., groggy and sore. Gravity of the situation set in. Rehab at 9 a.m. Thursday, 5 a.m., fly back to Orlando, check in with the Performance Center medical staff, and we begin planning the comeback. This dude was destroyed by this buckle bomb into the barricade. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Results may vary.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. And 20 years ago, I almost died from type 2 diabetes. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. My blood sugar was through the roof. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I should know it works. I use the very same techniques to drop 40 pounds of fat, get my blood sugar under control, and watch my type 2 diabetes fade into thin air. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to 2016diabetes.com. That's 2016diabetes.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to 2016diabetes.com. That's 2016diabetes.com now.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-603-0997. That's 1-800-603-0997. 1-800-603-0997. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at Guitar Center. We often hear those stories about the boy or the girl behind the track, but not so often is there such a mystery behind a person featured on a record cover. Find out how one 19-year-old woman accidentally cycled into photographer Joel Bernstein's iconic shot of Bruce Springsteen on New Jersey's Asbury Park Boardwalk in 79, only to be tracked down over 30 years later by fans. With me, Carrie Cooper, over at Focus on Rock.
It's here. The biggest guitar sale of the year. Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Save up to 20% on over 120,000 brand-name guitars, basses, and amps. Get huge deals on the hottest brands like Fender, Gibson, Taylor, Martin, and more. Over 65,000 guitars under $500. Save up to 15% off select pedals from brands like Dunlop, Boss, Digitech, and Line 6. Plus, get promotional financing on participating vendors when you use your Guitar Center gear card. Don't miss Guitarathon, Thursday through Sunday, only at Guitar Center. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking the Finn Balor injury. Let's look at the list here when they opened him up. Besides the labrum tear, he had a torn biceps, pectoral tendon cartilage damage, and a fracture to the glenoid neck socket. Holy smokes.
The glenoid neck socket. That is something I never even heard of
before. Is that what holds his head on? Could his head have fallen off? Is that what he's saying right here?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what it was just his body was almost ripped apart in half by this buckle bomb, which, oh my. Hey, I don't know. I know Matt Farmer chimed in last week when I was doing the show because I wasn't sure. Maybe Rollins got him up too high, or Finn just, he went up too high. He thinks Finn, you know, went up too high and he turned, and that's what it was. And that's certainly what it seems to be. But I brought this up last week. I don't understand why guys, and Biggie Langston did this, Doc Gallows did this at the pay-per-view. If you're Jack Evans, great. If you're Neville, great. If you're somebody that size, fine. I don't understand why everybody wants to take a 450 or a half gainer or a buckle bomb or whatever it is into those dasher boards. I don't get it, but hopefully we see a little bit of a moratorium on them. I know this is a freak thing. It could happen to anybody, but every time I see Big E dive out of the ring, or I see guys, you know, go flying into the dasher boards and doing these flips and things like that, it's like, you know, let's have a little bit of pause here and spread this out. You don't have to get rid of everything. But my God, you're doing this way too much, and somebody's begging to land right on their head.
I've given up on Big E. Big E is going to do that dive until he gets hurt. It's just inevitable. He's going to do it until he gets hurt, and then he will be out of action, and then he will come back and stop doing it. It's not
and
something.
Know what the worst part is? He's going to get hurt in such a spectacular way on live TV. It's like there's no way to land on that, and it's like maybe he just pulls a little something. I just know when it happens, it's going to be one of those like ugly Joe Theismann type of situations, and I just don't want that.
So hopefully Finn's going to be back within 6 months, but that's a lot of very, very serious injuries right there. And from talking to people, I think what happened was Seth didn't throw the guy far enough. And so Finn was coming up short, and so he tried to reach back so he could take it like you would take a normal buckle, and he was too far away, and that was the end of the world. So that's everyone I've talked to that has wrestled has said that he wasn't thrown far enough. Seth would have thrown him a little bit further. He probably would have been fine, but he came up short and tried to compensate and got hurt. And God only knows, if he hadn't reached his arm back, maybe he would have hit his neck socket and would have been in even worse shape. So
you always got to try to compensate when you come up short. But let me ask you a question as a trained professional.
No, I would never take a buckle bomb. I take that back. I would take a buckle bomb, but I would not take the buckle bomb into the barricade.
How about a snake eyes if you're going the other direction into it?
Dude, I hurt myself on a snake eyes.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, that's right.
But it was my fault.
Well, let me ask you a question, because, you know, I don't necessarily look at what happened with Sting as Seth Rollins' fault. Now, with Cena's nose, obviously there's that. And with his freak injury, I mean, I don't think you can really blame that on Rollins. But, you know, Bret Hart came out again and said, you know, hopefully he gets better before he kills somebody. And there seems to be two distinct sides on this, and I'm just interested. Here's another one I'm interested to see where people come down on, of how unsafe you think Rollins is with just these freak things kind of just happening. And maybe it's him wanting to be, you know, things that are too spectacular athletic, but go ahead.
Let me answer this. So what people have to realize about Seth Rollins is that he works an unbelievable number of matches throughout the year. He's on every house show. He's on every Raw. I could be wrong, but he either worked the most matches of anybody last year, or he was near the very top. So if you look at, he hurt three guys in all of those matches he's wrestled over the last 2-3 years. Okay. He's not that dangerous. Now, with that said, as Bret Hart noted, he never hurt a guy in his life. He never hurt one guy when he was working. Seth Rollins has hurt three guys over the last 2 years, two of them seriously. Now, yes, accidents happen in matches. You cannot avoid accidents. There are things that happen, stuff goes wrong, blah, blah, blah. However, Seth, if everybody that I've talked to is correct, he screwed up with this powerbomb. He didn't throw the guy far enough. Guy got hurt. So the other one was the John Cena match. What was happening in that John Cena match, where Seth Rollins, the guy is standing still. It wasn't like they were doing some complicated spot. John Cena was standing still. Seth Rollins grabbed his head. He leaped into the air. He drove his knee into the guy's eye socket or his nose or whatever. Like, it's an accident, but how was that an accident? He just jumped up and kneed the guy right in the face.
The Johnny Valentine accident.
So my point of all of this is, this guy needs to be more careful. That's just a fact. I'm not saying he's a careless worker. I'm not saying he's dangerous. The percentage of matches where he's hurt somebody is very, 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 very small. But he has hurt guys, and he's got to be careful. You know, this is just a goofy analogy. You can't really do this in wrestling, obviously, but I'm going to relate it to jiu-jitsu. Pedro Sauer jiu-jitsu, he's got a school, and Pedro's all about how you've got to take care of your training partners. If you go in there and you hurt your training partners, you can't do that. And so he has a rule where if you hurt your training partner, you cannot get back on the mat until that guy is healed. So if you go in there and you're all careless and you do a heel hook or something stupid and you tear out a guy's knee, guess what? You ain't back on the mats for 9 months until that guy is healed. Now, clearly you can't do that with Seth Rollins. But, I mean, there should be. He's a top guy. He's not like if he were a mid-card guy, he'd be out of the picture by now hurting all these guys. He's a top guy. But something's got to be done where he stops hurting people. Because this is now the third time, and these were not just fluke accidents. I mean, they were accidents, but one, you just drove your knee into the guy's face. One, you didn't throw the guy far enough. What was the other one?
Sting.
That one I'll give you was an accident, okay?
55-year-old men shouldn't be taking buckle bombs anyway.
That's a case of the company shouldn't have put this guy in the ring to take buckle bombs. Sting wanted to take him anyway. Sting doesn't even blame Seth Rollins, but I mean, what's he going to say? But in that case, that one was a legitimate, you wouldn't expect that to hurt a guy, okay? But the other two, that was Seth Rollins' fault.
You know what you do? You put him in there with AJ Styles. And you say, you know what, Seth? If anything happens here with AJ, you're going to have to take a Styles clash. And you remember those three guys that AJ put out with that Styles clash?
Oh,
that's
going to
be you next, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not.
Although
kidding,
I'll
buddy.
Say this, that dude, you know, this is, even though they're completely different situations in that, you know, you had Yoshitatsu and I forget the gentleman in the UK, Lionheart, who tucked his head. And I forget who the other person was. I can't even remember who it was, but I think it was Chris Daniels. It could also just be a thing, too, with Seth Rollins. And let's knock on wood and hope it's the case that much like it happened with AJ Styles, where 4 years, nobody had taken that move wrong. 4 years, no one had taken that move wrong. And for as much as AJ worked and did that move on the weekend and all that sort of stuff, happened, he wrestled a lot. There was just a freak time where a bunch of guys got hurt in short order. It happens. UFC guys get hurt, you know, all the time in a wave. Sometimes weird things just happen. The wrestling gods are upset. Things like this go down. And I know accidents can be avoidable, but maybe it's just been a string of some bad situations with Seth Rollins, and this is all out of his system because I believe in hope.
Let's talk about some of these. I sent out a request for text messages, so I got to read some. I'm going to feel very bad. Jason from BC, what are the odds on KO winning the title tonight? Also get canned water. Doom is imminent. I'll tell you what, it ain't 25% for each guy. I'd say it's 80% Seth, 19% Big Cass, and 0.5% for the other two guys. But who knows? Anything's possible.
I'm still fascinated by canned water, by the way, and that whole deal.
This person says, I would love Brian and Semp's take on Bret Hart's criticism of the work styles of Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe. Do you think he comes off wise or bitter? Well, listen, I think Bret's right about Seth Rollins. He's got to be more careful. But as far as, like, the Tyson Kidd broken neck off Samoa Joe's muscle buster, that to me was a total freak thing. I don't know this. I mean, maybe Tyson Kidd would disagree with this, but when I watched, and I've seen that the muscle buster that hurt Tyson Kidd. Joe didn't drop the guy on his head or his neck or anything weird. I mean, he put him flat on his back. Exactly like he has delivered every single muscle buster I've ever seen. I've never seen Joe screw that move up. Maybe Tyson Kidd, after all of his years of wrestling, had a neck that was one bump away from disaster. And it just happened to be that muscle buster. Well, Misawa at least landed on his head with that one last one.
That's true, but I mean, you know, the shape that he was in, too.
Yeah,
and again,
it was the same deal.
Yeah, the freak things happen.
I honestly think that's what happened with Samoa Joe's muscle buster. I don't think Samoa Joe was careless. I saw the move. He put the guy flat on his back. He did everything he could to try to protect the guy, and disaster fell. So That one, I think, is different than the knee to the John Cena face and the buckle bomb into the barricade, which I think both are. I blame Seth for both of those. But, hey, this person here says, do wrestlers have to pass a drug test to come back after the 30-day suspension? Fighters do. I don't think WWE wrestlers do, but I can try and check on that.
I would doubt it.
Is the Cruiserweight division expected to debut on Raw on September 19th, or is the start date undecided? They had a start date. I forget what it was, but they announced that the Cruiserweights were coming on such and such a date on Raw. And I forget what it was. It may have been September 19th.
I think, yeah. If you know what? Because I think I tried to match it up with football, and I can't remember what game it was of the season, week two or whatever it was going to be there. So, but yeah, they did actually have a date for it.
This person says, after Saturday, will UFC be tempted now to rush Paige VanZant to a championship match? I don't think so.
Nah.
I think they know she's not ready. Nor does she need to fight for a championship to get eyeballs on her. She could fight anybody, and people are going to watch in large numbers. So what's the hurry?
That's the biggest thing. She's a personality you can use who can win, you know, unlike Sage Northcutt. You know, VanZant, you're going to get some wins out of, and she's going to be competitive, and there's all the benefits you have from her. The title in her case really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. It's the ratings and the amount of eyeballs you can get on her, and you can do that a lot more on the network than you can on pay-per-view.
This person here says, do you guys feel the WWE has overkilled it, adding 7 additional pay-per-views, and if so, do you think it's best to reduce it? Well, we haven't seen it yet. But I strongly suspect this is too much WWE for a lot of people. Now, they are all network pay-per-views, so again, it doesn't matter. It's not like you're running them on traditional pay-per-view and you're just going to slash your buys. I mean, you're either going to sell people the network or you're not. And, I mean, for the hardcore fans buying the network, the more the better. Now, unfortunately, I think that when you have that many shows, people are going to pick and choose. They may lose interest in a brand.
NXT's going to be hurt.
NXT may be hurt, or maybe not. Maybe just the SmackDown brand is going to die a death when you have all of these shows headlined by the B-team. And listen, I love SmackDown, but it's very clearly the B-team if you watch the show and you watch WWE programming. So I don't think it's a good thing, but it is different than anything we've ever seen because they're not trying to run all these shows on pay-per-view. They're just adding to what you get on the WWE network. We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making 3 or 4 or 5.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I must mention this before we go off the air. There is no way you cannot convince me that the Headbangers are not being brought back to SmackDown on Tuesday solely in an attempt to kill Vinny from the Brian and Vinny Show. They have not been in this company since the year 2000. We have spent months ranting on the Tuesday retro show about the Headbangers. Vinny is going to lose his mind. The only flaw in their plan is that Vinny doesn't watch SmackDown. So really, they're just going to kill me by having the SmackDown tag team tournament involve the Headbangers. And let me tell you, when they went on their Twitter and they thanked the fans, Mosh and Thrasher should be thanking me, and you cannot convince me otherwise. The Headbangers are back tomorrow.
At least they're not the Sisters of Mercy or whatever they were. Sorry, boss. It's the way it goes. Hey, too much programming. Just that'll be your excuse to not watch SmackDown. Maybe you can use that. Can you use that? Can you get somebody else to watch it for you? I don't know. Sorry, you just might be out of luck.
And want to mention one thing before we go. There is going to be a Brock Lesnar Randy Orton rematch.
By God.
September 24th, a month from now, at a house show at the Allstate Arena in Chicago. Maybe they're going to give Randy his win back on a show that nobody can see unless you attend the show live. Yep.
The Vern territory is getting this one. Man.
It's up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Check it out. We're totally out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more. I want to thank Mike, as always, everybody who sent in text messages, the folks at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.